Today's daf is daf chaf hei, and we begin from the Mishnah. Now, tal mimenu karkar asur bahana. So, a karkar is a. Firstly, we're still referring to the avodah zarah of an asherah, which is asur bahana. So, if someone took from an asherah tree a karkar, which is like a weaving sort of needle of some sort, well, and it's a big thick one. Well, that is asur hana. You're allowed to use it if you get any hana from the tree. Arag ba eta beged. What if you use that to weave a piece of clothing? Ha beged asur ba'ana. The beged itself with asur ba'ana because it was produced with this asur hana. Fine. This fits in what we were saying before. Nitare ba'acherim. If that beged got mixed up with other ones and kulim asurim ba'ana, or Reb Eliezer or Mary Olech hana le'yama melech. Very similar to what we saw before. It simply says you can take the value of that. Beged that was made, that was woven with this karkar from the Asherah tree, and kas et yama melech. However, amrullah ain't pidyon avodah zarah. So it seems to follow a debate we've seen before. Okay, yafeh. So I'll just read the Pnei Moshe. This is a little piece on the mission. It says, karkar etz orogim asui kamin machat shel sakain, like a sack weaver's type of needle, uma'avirin oto al shashti keshu matuach lifneim ba'ariga. Fine. It's sort of as it's spread out, he uses it to weave. The Ashmina plug the Bahanach Tarti. Why do we need both? Why do we need this case as well? The E Ashmina Bakamaiti, if only you heard the first one, have a mina Bahakamarabalaz Mishum Debina de Karma de Gamra Pat Iklele Isura. I would think the reason why Rabbi Eliezer says you can do this like Pidayon, this way of like simply taking the value of this Isurana and throwing Yamamelach in the mixture, that is because the time when you finish the pot, the wood that was used to fire the oven is already burnt. Of our karakar, but the karakar, which is still present, it beneu, ema maybe agrees with Rabbanan. The itmar bahayich, maybe that's only in that case, in other words, this case, Rabbanan argue, but kamaita when it's disappeared, the wood, in other words, the wood asher is burnt out by the time the pot's finished, they might agree. Okay, that's why I need both cases, yafet. Now the Gemara says, "No mer karkar." Amr Chagai Kadnachit bin Ilfa. When it came off from the boat, Ishkachir, he found. I said, "I found. I ran into Rabbi Yaakov Baracha Yativ." He sat. Well, it sat. Umakshi brought the kasha. Natalimino karkar asur banaya. Arag bo et beged asur banaya. Okay, so we saw in our Mishnah that if he wove it, if he wove this beged using this karkar, it becomes asurana. It says vatanina. One second. We learned elsewhere, yimkor kula lagoi. Now, what's that referring to? The Pnei Moshe says as follows. This refers to the Mishnah we saw. Sorry, we haven't seen yet. We're going to see. That says, yai nesech, shenafa labor. You got yai nesech that falls into a bor, which is a whole pit of wine. Kulo asurbana. The whole thing's asurbana. However, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, "Yimkor kol ola nochri." You can just sell the whole thing to nochri and not include the value of the yain that got mixed in. So the question is, why is he delo amrinim mikar la nochri? Why don't we say the same thing? Why don't we say with all the begadim, you just sell the entire batch, but don't charge him for the value of the one that was woven with this karakara that came from the Asherah? We don't say that. We say you've got to take that na. Of that of from that beged, if you like, and that was derived, and we say we have to throw it in the Yamamelach. It says, So the Gemara says, Amar of Yaakov, this is the answer, Barbach, a guy Kashita, in other words. Amar Yaakov Chagai Keshita, Chagai brought this kasha, and Chagai also Kaima, he is also potter the question. Maichadun, what's a din? What's the difference? Taman ein derech benani kach min agoy. When it comes to the wine, it's not the way of a Jew to end up purchasing wine from a goy, because why is generally yain nesech or stam yain of shel a goy? So that's why in that situation, what you can do is you can just sell it to the goy and not charge him, so you don't get any hana from the yain nesech that fell into the bor. That's why that's sufficient there. Brahma If you were going to have this so-called solution of selling the entire mixture of this begadim to the goy and not charge him, it's possible that a Jew would purchase a beged, one of these garments, from the goy. In other words, bramhacha derech ben adam nikach beged min hagoy, and therefore you've got to make sure that isra na'a, the ana that was derived, according to again Rebbe Eliezer, is thrown to Yamamelach, and it doesn't end up in the hands of a Jew. That's a difference. Okay, let's continue. Gemara says, "Ketzah mevatla." How is it a goy would mevatel an asherah tree? Kirsem zireb natal mimenu makeh. if he sort of cut off some of the dry wood, that's kirsem, in order for firewood. Or zered is some of the also type of pruning for the moist pieces of wood. Or he cut, chopped off a piece of a branch from a makel or shavir or some sort of staff. So makel is like a stick. So afilu even a leaf harei ze bitla. In other words, he's doing it for his own purposes. In the aspect of sort of maisa, that's mevatel. However, shafa, if he shaved it, let's sort of cut for the benefit of the tree, well then it. That's been a benefit for the tree, it's not mavatala. Then that's asura v'shalot tzarka. If it's not tzarka, then it's muterat. Okay, here we actually find a debate regarding the shavings. So Rav Amar l'tzorko, if the shaving was done of this tree for its benefit, ben he ben shif, so not tzorko, for his own benefit, not the tree's benefit, for the person's benefit, he wanted the shavings. Ben he ben shifaya mutarim. The tree and both the shavings would be absolutely mutar now, because it's clear that when he did Letzorko, he was doing it, he was mevatel, effectively avodah zarah. If he did Letzorka for the benefit of the tree, we say, well, that's not mevatel the tree, so that's a tree still asura, but according to Rav, shefaya mutarim, the shavings would be mutar. Okay, you're fair. Fine. In other words, it's somehow the shavings themselves become a bit of battle. Okay. However, Shmuel is cholek on both these points. He's cholek, but just so you don't get confused, the order of the case is the other way around. So just in the previous case, Litzorka, if it was benefit of the tree, then obviously the tree is still Asura. Ben he, however, is Asura. However, he adds, even the shavings would be Asura. Because again, he wasn't mevatel of the tree. And therefore, any derivative of that tree, of the Asherah tree, should be Asura according to Shmuel, even the shavings. If it was done the tzorko, if this goy took some of the shavings from the tree of Avodah Zarah for Litzorko, in other words, for his own benefit, then this situation we say, then unlike Rav says, that not only the tree now becomes mutar, but sorry, not the shavings become mutar, also the tree. Here Shmuel is cholek on this case as well. He says, just because you took the shavings, because you wanted the shavings from the tree, doesn't mean it was bevatel the tree itself. So therefore, Litzorko, the tree is Asura, still Asura, v'shefayu mitorim. However, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Litzorka, he Asura v'shefayu mitorim, which is like Shitat Rav. Okay, with that, we say, Adronach Parak Kol HaTzalamim, Asura, Asurim, Adronach Kol HaParak Kol HaTzalamim, Asurim, Adronach Parak Kol HaTzalamim, Asurim. As my son said, it's the Parak of all the photographers. Because it's Salam. Yeah, let's continue. Now, the Rebbe Shmuel Omer, Shlosha Avanim Zil Betzad Zu, Betzad Markolis, Asurim Ushtaim Mutarim. So the Gemara is going to explain this in more detail. But a Markolis is another type of Avodah Zarah. We'll learn how it was worshipped soon. But it was shaped a bit like Stonehenge. So it was one piece, and one across the top, like an archway. That was Avodah Zarah. Okay. Now, what we're saying here is if you find three stones that are next to or near this Markolis, they are Asur, but if it's two, then it's Mutar. Why? I'll just show you the Pnei Moshe says that Kolomar, this is the Spetzar Markolis. Clearly know that the stones didn't fall from the Markolis itself, so it's a bit of a distance from it. That's when you get to Shlosh Avanim Atzurim. Because by the way, if it was closer to it, then we're concerned that some of the stones fell from the Markolis itself and there should be Asura. However, here we're saying, even if it's a distance from it that you know it didn't fall from it, nonetheless, if there are three stones there, it would be Asura. Why lefisha ein Markolis pachot mishlosh avanim? Katan, but some Markolis gadol. It seemed to be that when, I mean, this Markolis, according to Rabbi Ishmael, they would have a mini-me. They would have a mini Markolis next to the Markolis itself. Okay? Vekatanase gadol avdile bechol even a small achat sorry, in other words, the only situation where it would be would like, sorry, again, the Markolis itself, if there's Markolis cut, it would have to be three stones, but if we only found two, then there's no chashash. However, Chachamim have a different position entirely. They said they don't hold this concept of a Markolis Katan next to a Markolis Gadol. You have no choshish for that. So therefore, Etron Niretim, or only if it's in close proximity to these stones, that's when it's Asur, because the concern is it came from it. It fell from Nafalmin. If it's not near it, then it is mutar. Then it would be mutar because these stones are considered just random stones. Now, let's look at the Gemara. Rav Yishmael Amar Amarevi Taima de Bishmal. What's the reason for Rav Yishmael? This is how we explain the Mishnah. Mishum Mark List Gadol. That's a Mark List Katan. Because Rav Yishmael is concerned, even at a distance, the person made it maybe a mini Mark List next to the big Mark List. And Rabbanan Amri, no. The whole concern is Mishum Ragli Mark List, meaning something fell. These stones may have fell from the big Mark List and therefore they're asur. Therefore, it's only when it's close proximity. So Kama Hem Ragli Mark List. What's considered Ragli Mark List? They were concerned maybe it fell from it and then maybe even rolled away from it. Rabbas is b'shem Rabbanan to taman chamishim amah. Anything within 20, 50 amot, that would be considered asur. Okay, yeah, fair. Now, hilchot markalis kachi. What is the din of a markalis? Kachi shteim avanim. It takes two stones. Zu al gabei zu v'shlishit mala, which is really side by side and one above the top. Okay, which is like an archway type of structure. Now, natana teshmiya. What if the person himself placed a one stone, okay, and he placed a second one down, so he does not yet have a Markulis. And then he takes an animal and shechts it in front of it. Mishum beno, which is gewaldic because that's tomorrow's daf in Daf Yomi. And he's warned about, one second, this is what you're about to do. We've already shechted the mother animal, and you're now going to be shechting the child. That's an isur lav. Then he's loke. You will get malchus for being violating that. However, mishum avodah zara, we say actually eino niskal. He would change the gifts to eino because it says niskal. Eino niskal. Why? Because in that situation, you don't yet have an avodah zara. He's just shecht an animal in front of two stones. However, natana tashlishit. If, however, the full structure of the markalis has been erected, now you have a machloka which we've seen in the past between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Dear Palgun. If someone shechts an animal and it's a situation where the mother's already been shechted, now he's shechting the child and he's doing for Avodah Zarah. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it depends. If he was warned because of Otovet Beno, then he'll get Malkus for it because he's violated the prohibition of Balak Otovet Beno. If he's warned Mishum Avodah Zarah, well, then he gets Skila. That's a punishment for someone who did Avodah Zarah. However, Rabbi Shimon Lakish says, "I feel a trouble, even if it was warned only mishumotol benon, meaning we can't give him skila for doing avodah zara, he still would not get malchus einaloke. Why? Niskal, because since what he did was an isur that is a chiyuv mita, even though we wasn't warned and we can't punish him." Had we warned him, we could have punished him. So there's an isur, if you like, of skila there. Therefore, we can still say kimla, we still say the harsher punishment is in place, and therefore he can't be punished for the lighter punishment, the lighter violation of a tov beno, which is punishable by skila. So he gets off being not punished at all. Yeah, fine. He's got to count him in a shemayim. But according to Reish Lakish, as long as the Isser is that is punishable by Skila, even if he's not punishable by Skila, we still say this Kimmel, and he wouldn't be able to be punished for Otov Beno, even though he's warned specifically against it. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Ezo hi Markulis. Now we've already discussed what Markulis is. So there's different pshats on how to stand the Gemara. The Pnei Moshe says, he's Kloma ad kama Isur avnei Markulis. The prohibition of getting Hana from this stones of Markulis, what's the extent? That's the way he explains it. Says koshu saget hayam ve'et hadrachim. For example, even if you use it as a gesher or a wall, or you want to use it for paving, that would be considered a violation of getting and driving any benefit from it. Okay, that's why the Pnei Moshe explains it. Now the Gemara says hilchot markulis bezrika. It seemed to be the way they did avodah zara of markulis, where they get a stone and they'd throw stones at it. That's a derech avodata. Hishtacha vaya ma'u. What if the person bowed to it? Would that be considered a violation of the provision? In other words, the derech avodata is throwing stones in it, and the person ends up bowing to it. Is he chayev? Okay, the Gemara says, Amar Yossi kol atzmo einu karoy markulis ela bishtachavaya. So to explain, the Pnei Moshe says as follows. He says, "Kolomar ikar sher markulis korei mem b'lashon kavod b'lashon kiddus." In other words, the type of avodah zara is referred to as being kilus. Kilus is like praising, embellishing, like you're giving it kavush, showing kavod. However, we give it, as we've seen already, the practice we've seen in the Gemara is we're meant to Megane, in other words, we distort the names of Avodah Zarah to portray them in a negative light. Okay, so we change the name to Marcolis, right? Anachnu mechanim b'lashon gnai, a negative lashon la'ag, which is a mockery. V'zehu Marcolis, but Marcolis is a chiluf, is a switching or distortion of the word of kilus, which is derech kavod. Im ken kol shu keret kavod, therefore any show of respect, kugon ishtachavaya, even bowing, obviously, that would be considered abo umit chay bekach. In other words, since the very nature of Avodah Zarah is one for which one shows kavod to it, therefore bowing, one would be chayev for bowing, even though the derech of Avodah Zarah is normally throwing stones at it. Next, Evan Maskit. Again, we're coming to the Yamim Noraim, where we're soon enough, where we will, there's bowing shtachavim on the floor, but where there's a problem in the Torah of Evan Maskit, which literally is like a. Which means covered stone. It's bowing on a stone. That's a prohibition in the Torah. Gemara says, well, if you're talking about covered stones, is it possible not allowed to put two stones, one next to the other? V'yiten kupato, you're not allowed to put a basket on it because you're effectively covering this stone. The Gemara says, no. The issue is specifically bowing on a stone floor. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Aleya," meaning if the prohibition is putting this stone there in order to bow on it, but obviously you're allowed to, put baskets or anything on top of stones on the floor on those surfaces. The Gemara says, "Aleya mishtachaveh, that on this Eben Masket, these stones have been placed down for bowing on. Yes, there you're not allowed to bow. However, on the Beis HaMikdash itself had stone floors, marble floors, but there you're allowed to do it, meaning Aleya, but the Ma'et in the Beis HaMikdash where they would bow flat. Now, Rav Mifka the Beit Rav Acha, Ravini Mafke le they would each instruct their family. Kati Havu Nafke le Ta'anita. It seemed to be on the days of a public Ta'anit, they would do Hishtachavaya, they would bow. How he says, Loti havun rav in ka'orchin, do not bow in its normal manner. Why? Because there it was on stone flooring, and he didn't want them to be over on the prohibition of the issue of emmaskit, bowing on this on stone. Now, Rav Yonah Rava al Sitra, in order to avoid that, he would lie and bow on his side. Rav Acha, Rava al Sitra as well. Rav Shmuel ana chamit Rav Avahu Rava ka'orche. I asked Rav Avahu who's bowing in the normal manner. Am Rav Yosef kishitika mer Avahu. It's Rav Yosef. I bring the kasha. Put the kasha if you like before Rav Avahu. It says va'aktiv even maskid lo toinu baratzachem nishtachavot aleya. You're not allowed to bow on it. It says tifta bekoveya lo mako. So you understood that it's not just simply if there happens to be a stone floor, you're not allowed to bow on it. But rather, it's like a special bowing surface. That's what it seems to be. The koveya lo mako. However, the Gemara says that doesn't make sense. Well, you'll see in a minute. It says because even koveya lo makom, it seemed to be allowed to bow. Well, ad rosh, the understanding Pnei Moshe says is stam rosh b'mikra rosh evenhu. So it seemed to be that he went to a place where he bowed, and he bowed on this stone. So the Gemara says, no, no. This is a bowing who wasn't on the floor. What are you talking about? Is there any bowing that's not on the floor? Yes, it is. As it says, v'ichru. In other words, when it's ishtachava aretzah, we're talking about when someone lies completely. Generally, the understanding ishtachavaya is completely lying, pishut yadayim reglayim, completely outstretched, almost lying on one's face. Okay? What David HaMelech was doing at that place was a bowing that we're familiar with bowing to be, which we do, normally, which is just sort of standing up straight. That's not on the Ritzpah, not on the ground. So he went to this place where this stone happened to be, but he didn't lie on the floor, but he rather bent from his waist, and that's why it's not a kasha. Okay, let's continue. Here it says, Rav Mosif Al, as opposed to Hodu Lashem Kitov, Vodot Lashem Kitov. Now, this is interesting, sort of a tangent slightly, is that this relates, if you remember, we were just talking about bowing. But if you remember, we said if someone finds himself time at the Beis HaMikdash, he's got to get out as quick as possible. Okay? However, if he waits Kadesh Takavaya, the time it takes to bow, then he would have to bring this Korban Olah V'Yored. That's the, which we just sort of discussed in the past, all the parameters around that. So, The question is, what is this time it takes to bow? So the first opinions was regarding the passage that talks about bowing, which is, V'chol ben Yisroel bered et ha'esh u'chvod Hashem al ha'bayit v'ichru apayim arza al ha'ritzpah v'yishtachavu. That they v'ichru apayim arza al ha'ritzpah v'yishtachavu. That's the bowing. However, he adds also even longer shiur, which is v'hodot l'Hashem kitov, which is continuation. And the next shita, Ramana Mosif, the final three words of the pasuk, ki le'olam chasto. Okay, yafe. Okay, fine. Let's continue. Rabbi Yochanan Amar l'Rabbi Chiya Barba, Bavlai Trei Milin Salkun Min Gabeichon. That the Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Chiya, that the Babylonians, because of them, they imported, if you like, two practices to Eretz Israel. One is Mafshutita the Ta'anita, which is again Ishtachavaya, spreading out flat down on a Ta'anit. The Aruf. Now, Arufta d'Yom Shvi'i is referring to the mitzvah of Arava, the minhag nevim, as we usually refer to it as chibut Arava, which is it says. And I'll just read the plain Moshe. It says minhag Arava shil Yom Shvi'i shel Chag u'mibavel nitzped minhag azeh sheyu osim zechel mikdash. They did zechel mikdash, and they ended up doing it in Eretz Israel. Rabbanan Kisrim explained af hada makazda. Now, this is doing a Hakazat Adam, and there's a certain, Pnei Moshe quotes the Gemara in Shabbos, that says, there are certain days you could do Hakazat Adam, certain days you couldn't do Hakazat Adam, and all those parameters and laws are regarding that was also something that was imported from Bavel. It says, V'ate ka'ayda amar rav imi, ami, sorry, bavlai b'shem rav, rabbanan taman, lo tiru ishtachava ele latanet tzibur, u'bavada latzad. That they're only allowed ishtachava, this bowing, on a Tanet Sibur, they say he brought it from Babel, his Bavla'a, but also Bivlad, not straight down on one's face, but only again on one side. So some sort of shinoi to it. So Rav Yana Ziri says, B'shem Avate, Kol mi she'inu kasher ki Yoshua, anyone who's not of the status of Yoshua bin Nun, she'ini pol, that if you fall on his face on Fanav, Yomar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hashem would say to him, Kum lach ali pol, that HaKadosh Baruch would say to such a person, oh, you should get up, which is a very few people that Hashem talks to. Right, he's not so there. People on the level of Yeshua still says he shouldn't fall on his face. And when the Gemara qualifies, Ubilviad Yachid ala tzibur. Yachid ala tzibur means is when do we have this restriction that you have to be on the level of Yeshua being known to bow? That's when you're doing bitzibur for the tzibur. However, Yachid ben Aven Atzmo, he seems to say Adam is a person like that's Rashai. Okay, back to the Mishnah. This is referring to the stones. The Gemara says, Echu nira imo. That means it's gufo. The Chachamim say, in imo, the concern is it fell from it, and therefore it's part of the Vodah Zara of this Markalis itself. Vetche eno nira imo. If it's too far away, the eno gufo, as we explained in the Mishnah. The Gemara then says, Echu nira imo asur. That which is seen with it is asur. So the Gemara says, Late hada palig al resh lakish. This needs to be cholek on resh lakish. This brings us again to this machlok of resh lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, regarding avodah zarah that seems to fall apart on its own. The resh lakish ama avodah zarah shnishtabra muteret. Avodah zarah that falls apart on its own is muteret. And we just saw here that Chachamim are concerned about the stones that were nearby that fell from it, that they should be asur. And but if it fell from it, according to Rabbi Reish Lakish, if it fell on its own, it would be muteret. So the Gemara says, no, lo ken sabrim, that's not the case, because we said even Reish Lakish would agree that if the person intended to put those pieces back together again, imati lachzir anachalayan, dibrei hakol asur, then would everyone agree it would be asur. That's why, in this situation, the stones that fell near the Markalis, the assumption is it's going to be put together again. V'leidi pilai pala pliga al Rabbi Yochanan. So even Rabbi Yochanan, you can sort of run a similar line. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Avodah Zarah Shenishtabra Asura. Avodah Zarah falls apart, is Asura fits in. However, lo ken sabrei meima im she'enu ati lachziran lechlayan. If someone's not going to put it back together again, it should be mutar. So the Gemara says, well, the Amar Rabbi would avoid the manaya im ayim unuchim mekomam kemishu ati lachziran lechlayan ve'elu bimkomam. So now, as you might think, Rabbi Yochanan it's a kasha because once it falls apart, and assumptions are going to come back together again, even he agrees to be mutar. And then, but when Akash and Mishnah, these stones seem to fall, that the Chachamim assume fell from the Markalis are Asur. The answer is no. Since they're Bimkomam, since they're in their place, the assumption is it's going to be put back together again. And everyone would agree that these stones will be Asur. And that fits in very nicely with the concern of Chachamim that these stones should be Asur because we're concerned they came from or part of this Markalis. Okay.
But You would think then that if the Avodah Zarah itself is defunct, meaning that civilization doesn't exist anymore, then it should be mutter.
Oh, no, you
But
have to be
the
careful. We have to go, not the whole thing. Not the whole thing that. In this case, we're talking about the actual photos that are still there intact,
it's
right?
it.
It's stones that are near it.
No, but
You're asking a
you're
different question. You're asking a
we're
different
speaking about
question
when
in
it
terms
falls
of,
apart.
okay, you're
It's
asking a
it.
different question, which will Mitzvah Shem will get to in other Mishnayos. That what happens if a civilization was there and they moved on and they left the photos that are behind, right? Is it batel? Is it not?
There's
Okay.
no intent to reconstitute it.
Right, so we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, let the Mishnahs discuss that. Okay. All right. Cool. Have a good day.
Oh, too. Thank you.